My name is Ashley Chilcutt with BYU Idaho Radio, and joining me today is President Henry J. Eyring and his wife, Sister Kelly C. Eyring, and we're going to be talking about the devotional speeches that will introduce the new fall semester. Thank you so much for joining me today. I think just to start, I'll just ask an icebreaker question. How was your summer?
It was wonderful. We stayed closer to home. We didn't venture out too far, but one of our favorite places to venture to is Sun Valley, Idaho. We've been going there for years, ever since we were married.
And even since my parents were married, that's where they honeymooned.
Wow.
In 1961.
So this place is really special to you guys then.
Yeah, great place for our family.
Yeah, that was really evident, especially in your talk at the very beginning. You talked about the beauty of Idaho, so that's really special.
It is a wonderful place.
Awesome. So I noticed after reading both of your talks that they have a theme of optimism or kind of staying happy and kind of challenging times. So I wanted to ask, what inspired you to focus on optimism, and how do you feel it can benefit students in this upcoming fall semester?
I think Henry would tell you I'm naturally an optimistic person, I think, most of the time. But I do think that particularly now, that it's important to have what we're thinking about really affects our experience. And so if we can keep those good positive thoughts going, I think we'll have a much better experience this semester.
Yes.
Agreed. My grandmother Mildred Benyon used to say, life is a test. Mm. And I think when most of us hear the word test, it sort of braces us. And
especially in a school environment.
Yes, yes. And there's a certain amount of fright that comes to you. But the reality is that Heavenly Father has designed this world and this universe as a school for us not to be graded, but to be upgraded, to have the opportunity to overcome death spiritually and to live well and to lift others. And so it's just a great thing to recognize that even a pandemic,
right,
is curriculum, and not necessarily something to be brushed aside or to be resented.
So something to learn from, essentially.
Something to learn from, and grow from.
Definitely. So, President Eyring, in your devotional talk, you acknowledge that, quote, the net effect of negative news is a tendency to see the world as generally competitive, selfish, and filled with strife and ill will. As a result, your call for optimism may be challenging for many people. What can students do to integrate optimistic habits into their everyday lives? How do you stay positive in your own life?
It's a great question. I find solace in prayer, both at, in the morning and in the evening, and try to think about, again, this idea that that life is a school, and so in the morning you pray for opportunities to be tested, and in the evening we hope that we can go to our knees and look back and say, well, it was hard, but maybe not as hard as I thought. And you know, maybe I'm getting a little better as we go.
Definitely. I think if the pandemic's taught me anything, it's to worry less about things that I can't control and appreciate the things that I can. Mm. So, Sister Eyring, in your talk, you say that worrying about what might happen or even about what is happening is not productive or does not make you happy. What calms you most when worries arise?
I think for me, I have to recognize that Heavenly Father gave me this fabulous brain, but my brain sometimes feeds me thoughts, gives me ideas or wants to go to what is wrong or what is difficult. And if I can step back and tell my brain, this is, you know, what you're worried about, talk to my heart and say, okay, what are we really feeling? And can we feel the Holy Ghost here? And can you help me see people's motives and see people as they really are? That brings me back to where I really want to be seeing things like Heavenly Father as a bigger overall picture with love for the people around me and for the situations, grateful for chances to learn, grateful for chances to make mistakes, but grateful for those things. Then I can separate myself from, I think, just our brains that want to, often to go to right. What's wrong, what's hard, but if I can tell it, calm down, it's okay.
Yes, I agree. I think what I take from that is essentially is that we have to understand that we're spiritual beings mm-hmm. in a mortal setting.
Right.
And if we remember to kind of come in tune with the Spirit again, our mortal worries will feel a lot smaller than they did before.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Awesome. President Eyring, you mentioned in your devotional talk that BYU-Idaho has one of the highest student enrollments in its history this fall. What steps has the university taken to ensure the safety of students during this resurgent COVID-19 pandemic in what is already cold and flu season?
Yes. And recent news suggests that the pandemic isn't going away very soon. And so we talk a lot about it, by the way. That's one of the most important things, is that we are meeting as an executive group since the pandemic 5 days a week.
Right.
We have been meeting to talk about what's going on. And we have been very, very close to our colleagues at the State of Idaho Public Health Department, and particularly the group in Idaho Falls. And we made a decision early on to get close to them, weekly meetings with those folks. And we decided we wanted to be head of the pandemic class. And in the beginning, by the way, they were modest enough to say, you know, this is different than what anything we've seen before. Something that you know, could come out of nowhere and or leave people entirely alone. And so it's been wonderful. I think is it the 12th article of faith that talks about being subject to kings and rulers and to Eastern Idaho Public Health. And that there's been great goodness in that, not only because we know what they know, but together we are innovating. We didn't intentionally turn the campus into a laboratory,
right.
But that's what we're doing. Is we're looking especially for the less intrusive, less divisive things that we can do, and a big part of that is masks.
Right.
We made a decision early on that we would wear our masks in the buildings of the campus, and we would take care in our apartments, and we were going to be obedient, and that I think has kept the incidence of COVID-19 down on the campus, relatively speaking. And it's been a great help, by the way, to have our city and county leaders collaborating with us. And masks will remain a feature for the time being, especially with the spike that we're seeing in mostly other parts of Idaho, but we can see that we've got to be prepared as well, and we feel well taught and we're in consultation with one another, both on the campus and I said with the folks at Eastern Idaho Public Health, and our faculty members in particular have been very, very unselfish. You know, they'd been teaching very, very good courses, all face-to-face, and that had to change very quickly. And in fact, we've just had the experience. I was in Salt Lake City yesterday and reporting to the Board of Church Education. And one of the things that we discussed was what we're learning about learning through the pandemic.
And what was the kind of conclusion with that?
You know, and it's interesting that, you know, the first presidency, I think the average age, let's see, my father's 88, and I think that President Oaks is 88, and President Nelson is 95 or 96.
Yeah.
So, you know, but you know, President Nelson is a pretty good doctor, and they have been very innovative and engaged in a lot of counseling, and we're taking the mostly kind of the low-tech approach to it with the masks, and then urging, as the first presidency have done, getting vaccinated.
Right.
And we're about, you know, during the time of this interview, there have probably been several hundred students who have come into Rexburg, and thousands more are coming, and we have counseled a great deal with our faculty and other university employees, administrators. We've got this fast and meal that we've talked about. And we've done this now. I think the meal is in its fourth or fifth iteration. We have 25,000 meals coming for a break the fast event. And there will be conversations with a little bit of scripting from the university, you know, discussion questions you might raise about you know, how can we have a good semester? And I think we're drawing upon people's best intentions. We believe in agency, and we're seeing good things. People are exercising their agency wisely. I've got a good feeling that not only will we survive this physically, we're going to look back on it as one of those tests of life that we've been able to pass.
Yes, I surely hope there's a rainbow at the end.
Yeah, collectively, I think we can stay safe.
I agree. So in regard to vaccination, as mentioned earlier, your message encourages everyone to get vaccinated. As you know, many people struggle with whether or not to get the COVID vaccine. What would you say to students who are conflicted about getting vaccinated?
Yes. In a little video that I made, I suggested that every one of us ought to make vaccination or not a matter of personal prayer.
Definitely.
And We have some evidence, you know, we're doing a little bit of sampling, and it looks as though the vaccination rate is rising, getting to the point of perhaps of what they call herd immunity. I've had the feeling that in prayer, every one of us can decide. Can receive inspiration about what they ought to do.
Definitely.
And I think that's kind of the spirit of BYU-Idaho.
Yes, I think that kind of goes back to what Sister Irene said earlier about kind of finding peace of mind and going to a quiet place or a place of spirituality over mortal worry, if you will. So, Sister Irene, in your talk, you give an anecdote about a chipmunk and a bear. How do you redirect your thoughts in moments when you are tempted to have a bear reaction to a chipmunk event?
You have to catch yourself. You have to realize, and I think that practice, you have to practice that. You have to practice saying, oh, okay, I'm thinking about a bear, but really the things in front of me aren't nearly that frightening. And that then you can change your thoughts with the help of the Holy Ghost to help you redirect and get back to focusing on what's really beautiful and wonderful and good around you. But I do find, you know, in the mornings, President Irene talked about prayer. If you can start your morning with prayer, if you can find yourself in the temple, if you can find yourself in those spaces, that will help you keep the bears
away.
So, yeah.
I see.
Sister Irene is, I don't know whether it's natural, but she's certainly developed the quality of optimism. And she has enough for herself and some left over. I'm grateful for that.
You probably power a light bulb with our optimism. Very cool. Well, President Irene, you are again inviting the campus to join in a special fast, which you mentioned earlier. What have you observed in past fasts, and what are your hopes at this time?
Well, I think that this fasting and the meal increases what some people call intentionality. It goes back to that idea of agency as well, and that is that each of us, in all the important decisions we make, even some of the smaller ones, we need to engage both our mind but our heart in getting guidance. Heavenly Father has created the world's best classroom and given us nudges through the scriptures and through prophets. There's a great curriculum, and almost no matter how difficult things become, we do well to, rather than saying why me, where's the fairness? And I think the fairness comes out, and the joy comes out when I think of little children. One of the first sentences you'll hear from a little child is, I do it.
Yes.
You know, to have faced a fear, or to have tried to grasp a prize, and to actually do it.
Right.
It's the whole point.
To accomplish something.
Of this world, and the plan of salvation makes it work in such a way that the Lord takes care of our mistakes, and we get to keep all of our victories.
Yes, I love that. I've never thought of it that way. I have one more question for you, President. In your talk, you say that time is insight. With this metaphor in mind, what insights do you feel this pandemic will provide for us now and in the future?
Oh, it is such a good question. I hope that that there's some divisive aspects of the pandemic, maybe more than we would like. But there have been other times in history where, as I mentioned, war was much more common. Mm. And most of, if we weren't in an optimistic world, all the bad things would just repeat, no matter how much the historians might write about them. But as I mentioned in my remarks, it's pretty clear that even as the world becomes more and more diverse, Almost everybody is getting to be better off. And it's just hard to see. It's slow in some case, and then it's up and down. And there's a temptation to look at other people and say, well, why am I getting the short end of the stick compared to that person?
Right,
and,
grass is greener on the other
you
side.
Know, and maybe that person gave me the short end of the stick.
Oh, no.
But if we look at it optimistically and let the Holy Ghost guide, we'll be able to see how not only we as individuals, but also the world at large, on average, is getting better. And I'm hopeful that the destruction at the end of the world, it's prophesied there'll be a certain amount of that. But I have a sense that things we're doing today are going to make the end of the world less catastrophic and more a door opening onto a celestialized world.
That's a great perspective to have. Sister Eyring, what are your thoughts on lessons we can learn from the pandemic, how it'll affect us?
I think we've all talked about how initially we pulled back, we focused on our families and closer people that were around us. We took away or stripped away unnecessary activities and things that maybe had been keeping us busy, but not necessarily in the right things. And so I'm so grateful for those lessons. And it's easy, as we started to think that things were going back to normal, to add back in some of those things that we had already learned that we didn't need, that were unnecessary. So we need to remember that those aren't the things that really matter. And so for me, I hope I will remember that it's easy to let those things creep back in, but I don't think we need those things.
What would you say are the things that really matter that you find?
I have loved this summer spending time with children, grandchildren, parents, and really engaging in conversations that were meaningful, more than just about our busyness.
Right.
I've loved the time that we spent in worship services that were maybe sometimes not always with our ward or the extended, but in our family. Now I'm thrilled to be able to go back to church.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong. I love my ward family and I love my stake and I love those people too. But it was fabulous to have some of those very intimate times to take the sacrament with just my son and my husband officiating, and those were wonderful things.
I remember those memories, and I was personally grateful that we had been prepared to have at-home church as well through the Come Follow Me manual that was put out. So that definitely was an inspiration to me that the Lord is leading this church and helping us along, even in these hard times, and I think that helps me personally to be optimistic. Mm-hmm. Though I don't consider myself as naturally optimistic as you seem to be, but I can definitely see the light that President Eyring talks about when he talks with you. Well, that's all the questions I have. Thank you so much for joining me and for answering the questions about your devotional talks.
Thank you. Very well done.
Thank you.
We're excited.
Bless you.
Thank you.